Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Psalm chapter 8. It reads, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and let's pray together as we get started with this message. Holy God, your name is majestic, and we are so grateful that we get to be here and reflect on that. I pray now that you would take the words that are here and take them and make them yours, because with you, together we might grow in our faith of you. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we're in a sermon series about wonder. We've been talking about that this morning. I hope you heard last week's message. Tom gave it last week. He talked about the wonders of creation. If you haven't, go back and listen to it, because I think you'll find all 4 weeks are connected to one another, and that's going to be important. One of the things you heard Kelly talk about was we've created this wonder wall, and it's out and to the left. It's also online. You can do hashtag wonder, and just we're encouraging you to put pictures up and record things of where you found wonder in the world. So I'm going to share with you my own personal wonder wall, because I enjoy doing that. And I'm going to start 2 weeks ago when my family and I were on vacation down at Lake Anna, and here is a picture of the clouds. The lake is down below. You can't quite see that. The clouds, this was one morning. It was just beautiful. Here is a picture of peaches. We got a bushel of peaches, and my daughter and I looked at the peaches, and we were like, these are amazing, and they're so good, and we made this. And that was wonderful. And then here is a picture of, these are flowers that you can see as you look out over the water. They just kind of grow, and somebody planted them a long time ago. And then here's this picture of this bird. I was sitting on the dock. There were four of them there, and I was trying to get all four of them, but they don't sit still for very long. And they were very busy, and I just thought, wow, I'm just so impressed with the wonder, the beauty of creation. And so that was great. We were at the lake, and then I came home, and I thought, there's not going to be as much wonder of creation here in Herndon, Virginia, which is not the best attitude to have, but sometimes when you're done with vacation, you kind of notice that a little more. And so then I remembered something that you all already know this. It is not about your location. It's about your perspective, if you can see the wonder. So this is my wonder wall from just the last week. Here is a picture. I took a walk. I can walk to Frying Pan Park from where I live. And it was sunset. And I just thought, oh my God, it's wonderful. And then I walked into the farm and I made a friend. And she was like, hey, I'm hungry. And so that was great. And then here is a picture of flowers that were along the way. And then this picture, last week, many of you took pictures like this. There was a terrific storm last week. And the sky after the storm was incredible. This was all over Facebook. I went on that night. I have to give credit to my son-in-law, Paul Nicholson, who took this picture. It's a double rainbow across the street from their house. And I thought, oh my God, that's just so beautiful. You can see wonder all around you. I was just filled with all of that. But then what I realized is you don't just see wonder. You feel wonder. You experience wonder. And I had been talking to, honestly, my two daughters-in-law and my daughter, and they said, Mom, have you heard of earthing? And I said, no, what is earthing? And sometimes it's called grounding. And I called it going barefoot on the grass when I was a kid. That's what earthing was. But here's the deal about this. Apparently, we, especially in this area, in Northern Virginia, but in the United States in particular, we often don't ever actually feel the earth beneath our feet, like the actual earth barefoot and feel the earth, or even on our hands, because we wear gloves, we wear shoes, we're just always outside, and there is benefit to that. You remember when you were a kid, and you would take off your shoes, and you would go barefoot in the grass, and it just felt free. There was this freedom to it. I was at a picnic yesterday, and this little girl was 1 year old, and we were on a platform that was concrete, and she would not stay on it. She kept crawling off into the grass, and she was rolling in the grass. She's picking the grass. She may have eaten a little grass. She was all about the earthing. But what I want to encourage you to think about doing is intentionally going outside, taking off your shoes, and standing in the grass or in the dirt. And what the people that are proponents of this say is that it just brings the energy of the earth into you. I think it helps your souls, and I think it helps your soul. See what I did there? I think it just helps you remember the wonder and the beauty of creation. Now, some of you are going, but I don't like to take my shoes off when I go outside. You know where 99.9% of us do this? At the beach. When you go to the beach, you walk across the boardwalk, and you're starting to get in the sand, and the first thing you do is you take off your shoes. And many of us would rather do the hot sand dance than wear shoes on the beach. And you go across the sand, and then you just stand in the water, and you feel the water, and you feel the sand, and you feel the salt air on you, and you smell the seaweed, and you are experiencing creation. You're connecting to it, and it's becoming a full experience of the wonder of the world. And so today, we're going to do another sermon on the wonder of creation, and here is something that I want you to think about. Two words I want to talk about this week. The first word is shalom. Can you say that? Shalom. At home to, shalom. You know this word. Many of you have heard this word before. You know that it means peace in general, but it means so much more than peace. And I was reading about it, and there's a pastor, her name is Pastor Oshita Moore, and she gives us this definition of shalom. Shalom is God's dream for the world as it should be. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything made whole. Shalom is God's dream for the world as it should be. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything made whole. It is the peace that passes understanding. It is being at one with God, at one with creation, at one with humanity. You're at war with nothing. Think about that. We're at war with a lot of things every day. We're often at war with ourselves about what we're choosing to do. We're at war in relationships often. We're at war with other people. We're at war with the environment. Think of nothing broken and everything made whole. Shalom. When I was in high school in student ministries, those of you that grew up in the church might recognize this, we would, at the end of every student youth group meeting, whether it was at our church or whether it was at church camp, grew up going to a church camp a lot, we would sing the same song. We would sing the song Shalom. And it goes like this. Shalom, my friend, shalom, my friends, shalom, shalom. We'll see you again, we'll see you again, shalom. Shalom. And just the tune and the song, I would stand there. We held hands like this in a circle, and I would look around the circle, and I would see the faces of people I really liked. And I felt something that I didn't feel in a lot of places, and I couldn't have named it then, but what it was shalom. It was the peace of Christ. It was this oneness with people that I cared about. It was oneness with Christ. And shalom was just such a beautiful thing. I hope you find spaces for shalom in your life. Shalom. I know one of the places that I find it is on a paddleboard on the water. I get up early in the morning and I feel the water under the board and sometimes all over my body, depending if I fall in, and I hear the birds and I feel the air, and I just experience this sense of shalom in creation that is beautiful. And when I'm out there like that, often by myself, often early in the morning, I think about Psalm 8, the psalm that Nabs just read. And I think about the part where the psalmist is talking about what his wonder of God, and it goes like this. Would you read this with me? What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Do you hear the wonder in the psalmist's voice? He's like, how can you think so highly of us that you give us all of creation? It's a wonder to him, and I that's often what I feel like when I'm out experiencing that shalom. But then I want you to look at the next line. All right, read this with me and put emphasis on the lines that are bolded. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. When I read that, I think you put everything under their feet. And this phrase has caused problems for centuries. And the problem is we read it with a Western mindset. We think monarchy, think that pyramid. I remember seeing this in a history book where the king is on the top and he's big and has a crown, and then underneath are all of the people and all of the animals. Everything is under the king's feet. Think Henry VIII. Henry VIII felt he could do anything that he wanted. He was in charge. He was in control of everything. You want a new wife? Chop off the old one's head. You want a wood? You go chop down an entire forest. You want a new religion? Throw out the old one and create a new one. He was Lord of everything, ruler of all. He was sovereign. He was in charge of everything. And that's what we were given. That's what we carried forward. Everything under your feet meant that we could do anything that we wanted. It made us sound like despots and rulers and people who just don't care about things. That's not shalom. If we think about being at one with creation, that shalom that I was talking about, putting everything under your feet is not that. So we're going to do a little exegesis together. That means we're going to do some studying of the Bible. To make sense of this, we need to go to Genesis 1. First, our second word. The first word is shalom. Say shalom. Here's the second word, dominion. Say dominion. Say it at home too. That's good. Okay. Dominion. And now we're going to go to Genesis 1. It is tied to the psalm. It goes like this. So God created humankind in his image. This is the very beginning of the Bible. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. When you hear the word dominion, what do you think? When I hear it, I think I'm in charge. I think abusive power. I think I get to do whatever I want because I have dominion over everything. That's not what it means. Here's the good news for us. That is not what the word dominion means. I want to get to the right definition here. The word dominion is translated from a Hebrew word that is mashal. Say mashal. Mashal. Okay, so you've got shalom and you've got dominion. Apparently I lied, we're doing three words today because this is mashal, all right? Mashal is a Hebrew word and it's most often used in the Bible to describe the rule of a king over its people. It's the king over its people. And you may remember in the Bible, the Israelites didn't have kings. They were governed by tribes. They were governed by judges. And then the Israelites said, but we want a king because everybody around us has a king. And God says, no, you don't. You don't want a king because kings get corrupted by power. But they said, no, we really want a king. And God said, okay, you can have a king, but here's how a king is supposed to act. A king is supposed to be kind. Let me read you the definition. The king of ancient Israel was to provide a place where people could live in peace and safety, where they could raise their animals and their crops, where they could be treated with justice and equity, and where they could be cared for if they couldn't care for themselves. That's shalom. That's mashal. But what happened was just what God anticipated happening. The kings decided they would rather have dominion and everything under their feet, and they ruled poorly, and then God would send prophets to remind them of this, and it became a mess. If God gives you mashal, then God is entrusting the well-being of the people and the land to you. When God says, have dominion over every living thing, God is saying, creation, all of it is under your care. And I have expectations that you will steward and care for it. It's under your protection. Human beings have a unique function in creation. It's not just that God gives us the capacity to care for creation. It's that God commands us to care for creation. God gives us mashal. And we are to be agents in God's world. We are to be agents of the land, stewards, protectors. And as humans, we have the biggest impact on creation by far. No school of fish, no herd of cows, no grove of trees has the capacity for health and harm over creation than human beings have. When we make this mistake of forgetting that we have mashal, that we are to be shalom with creation, and we mistake that for self-focused dominion, and we crush everything under our feet. Here's what I want to tell you today about wonder. It's not just about seeing the wonder of creation. It's not just about feeling the wonder of creation. It's about caring for creation. It's not just about reduce, reuse, and recycle, which is important and what we should do, but it's why we do it. And we do it because God says, I've put everything under your feet. Mashal. And when we don't do that, when we are disobedient, we pay a price for that. So what does disobedience look like? I'm going back to Lake Anna. You know that I love Lake Anna. So at Lake Anna, this is Lake Anna. It's a picture of what it looks like. And it's beautiful, right? It's a great place. But the week before last when we were there, one of the reasons I was so happy that week was we could actually get in the water. And you may say, of course you could get in the water, you were at a lake. But here's the problem. There is something called a harmful algae bloom. Harmful algae blooms, the algae blooms can be okay. This is a particularly harmful one, and they can be harmful to people and humans and all sorts of things. And Lake Anna in the last several years has had a harmful algae bloom every year. And it's sometimes a blue-green algae bloom. It's called pond scum sometimes, and it looks like this. Like, that's disgusting. You can't get into that because it will cause a rash. It could make you sick. It's bad for animals. It's bad for humans. And you can't go to the lake and get in the water. When this happens, the Virginia Health Department issues a no-swim advisory. And so you take your grandchildren to the lake, and you stand at the edge of it, and you go, but you can't get in the water. That's not very positive in a household. The harmful algae bloom is coming earlier and earlier every year. And you say, ask, what causes this? Human beings cause this. Humanity causes this. This is mostly caused by fertilizer that goes into the water. Fertilizer from farms, but largely fertilizers from fertilizers from lawns. You know, all the homes that are built up around lakes, they want green, beautiful lawns. And so what happens is people choose non-organic fertilizers. They want the beautiful lawn. And when you choose to have the green, lush lawn and it goes into the water, that's disobedience. And this is a picture of where the algae bloom is. I just got this yesterday because it wasn't there. We were very excited. And there it is. It's coming right down the lake. That's what disobedience looks like. And if this is happening in Lake Anna, which is an hour and a half down the road, you can be sure it's happening in Fairfax County and Loudoun County. So we are all responsible for obedience to God's call on our life, to be mashal. This is what disobedience looks like. So would you like to know what obedience looks like? I hope so. The other day when I was at the grocery store, I was checking out, and I stopped for a minute, and I looked all around me, and I was like, that person, all the self-checkouts, right? All of them had no plastic bags. Everybody had their own bags, and they were filling up their own bags, and I was like, I want to high-five everybody around here, because, like, you're doing an amazing thing. And I did a little research, and it's a 2022 study. And since we have gone away from plastic bags, oh shoot, now I'm way down here. Since we have gone away from plastic bags, there has been, I want to give you the right quote on this. Nationwide, plastic bag charge has reduced the use of plastic bags in grocery stores by over 90% since 2015. 90%. You all have done that. That's obedience. That's saving the landfill. That's doing all the things that plastic bags do. That's what obedience looks like. Here's another picture of what obedience looks like. It looks like bald eagles. You probably remember several years ago, they were on the endangered species list. There were hardly any bald eagles left. Now, because human beings put in a protection act, they're thriving. When you go to Lake Anna or Smith Mountain Lake or the other lakes around here, you see bald eagles all the time. They're just normal now, which is crazy to me because I grew up when there were none. The other day I was walking in our townhouse area down the street, a bald eagle flew over in Herndon, Virginia. And I thought, yay for us. That's what obedience looks like. Here's the last piece I want to tell you about obedience. This is as big as a football field. This is called the O2. It's off Scotland on the Orkney Islands. It is called, are you ready? The Giant Floating Tidal Stream Energy Generator. O2 is a much better name for it. Here's what it does. It works with the ocean tides to produce clean energy. You know, solar energy is great, but you need to have, what do you need if you have solar energy? You need the sun. Look outside. No sun today. Wind energy, what do you need? The wind. Wind and sun are not always there, but the tidal energy? Do you remember back in Genesis 1, God sets the earth in motion. That's the tides. They never stop. So when you learn to harness the tide energy, you are working with the ocean, not against the ocean. There are six of these off the Orkney Islands, and they are powering homes and vehicles and producing this clean energy, and there's a long way to go still, but it's hopeful. This is what obedience looks like. I was standing in the backyard of our townhouse the other day, and it's pretty tiny, right? It's just this little patch of ground, and I was standing there, and I was thinking about this sermon series, and I had my shoes off because I was practicing, you know, earthing, and I was feeling it, and I thought, all of this is under my feet. I'm responsible for this. I have mashal over this little area here. And I thought, I can do that. But then I looked up, and our neighbor came outside. And I thought, Hi Ping and I, we've got mashal together because we're connected. And then right outside of it is the common area. And I thought, well, I'm connected to the common area too. So I got mashal over that. And then I thought, well, in the common area, there's the little creek that runs through. And the creek goes into the sewer. And the sewers go into the streams. And the streams go into the Chesapeake Bay, which has all sorts of issues. And the Chesapeake Bay, the Atlantic Ocean, and you are mashal over everything. Everything is under our feet. And what I'm telling you today in this wonder series is, we love wonder. All of the pictures that I've seen on Facebook last week, I wish I'd counted the number of sunset pictures that I saw, the number of pictures of deer, the number of pictures of hummingbirds, all the beautiful things, all the wonder. We love wonder, all of us do. And if we love wonder, then we must practice mashal, because we are called to be obedient to God and take care of creation. It's that simple. There is a direct correlation to that. So how are you going to do that? How are we supposed to practice mashal? You know some of these. I'm just going to share a few with you. The first one is, you're the person that goes for the walk and picks up trash. Take a bag with you, pick up the trash off the ground, put it in the bag. Here's the thing that I saw. I was taking a walk and I saw a Starbucks cup that was like this big. And I thought, if you can pay for a $6 to $8 Starbucks, surely you can dispose of the cup properly. But then I was getting into judgment and said, that's a different sermon. Just pick up the cup and get rid of it. So go for a walk, pick up the trash. The other thing that you can do is eat at home. Eat less takeout food, which makes me a little bit sad, but you don't have to cut it out altogether. But the more you cook your own food, the more that you eat at home, the less trash you're producing. All you can figure that out. It's just better. Use organic fertilizers on your lawn. It may not be the lush green that you want, but it will be better and there will be no runoff. And my grandchildren will be able to go in Lake Anna. And then learn about your environment. Tracy Janiak is a member of our congregation. She's out in the gathering space and she volunteers for the Reston Association and she cleans up streams. And she wants people to help her with that. And she's got a setup out there, and she's excited to talk to you. She's got stuff for the kids. Educate yourself on what you can do, on what we can do. Here's what I want to leave you with. We love wonder. But if we want wonder, we must be caretakers. We must practice mashal, so that our collective children and their children and their children can experience the wonder that you and I still get to experience today. Amen.